Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Institute for Personal Development, where total consciousness is the new frontier. Kriya Yoga is the union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices that initiate this process.
And good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
I'm here. I guess I'm doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing great this morning, and I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the rhythm in life. It is no coincidence that there are 12 tones and 7 notes in music and 7 major chakras and 12 departments in life. Listen as we explain how the small and simple explains the large and the complex. Everything in life has procedure and timing. Just as the physical body has a pulse, music has a beat. By understanding music, you can see the rhythms and cycles of your life. So welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our spiritual, Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and experience the dance of life. Well, so this should be a fun episode talking about music and Kriya Yoga. So how can we make the association between the two? How are they connected?
Well, I think what you want to do is you really want to understand the infrastructure of both. That if you understand how your chakra system works, that it's kind of like the pure energy of spirit passes through the lens of your mind and then it creates our reality. And with regard to the whole thing of music, that unified sound is silence. And so again, as you start to break things off from the unified state and you start breaking it into segments or pieces, then you have noise. And it's kind of an interesting dynamic, and a lot of the things that are associated with music can also be cross-referenced with regard to our experience with life. But I think the major thing is to understand the procedure, the procession of life, to understand the infrastructure of a song. And I think one of probably the best ways to start maybe getting familiar with that, because to be honest with you, I really do not understand music at all. But I do have a real clear understanding of the Bhagavad Gita, which the work itself is called the Song of Life, I mean the Song of God. And I think that work, if you start to pull it apart and cross-reference it, you could start to see how it was named exactly that way. And then, of course, if you start to understand a little bit about the infrastructure of music, like we said, there are notes and there are tones. And then there's all of this other stuff that we put together in this compilation to make a song. And our lives are a compilation of all of these things that are meshed together, and we try and put them together in some sort of harmonious rhythm. And of course, a life that's in balance has that type of structure. And whether we do it consciously or unconsciously, I think it makes a difference.
I think no matter no matter your culture, whether you're living in the United States or whether you're, you know, part of an indigenous tribe somewhere in another country, that sound or song is very important to culture. There are some cultures that drum. There are some cultures that have, you know, fluting and or chanting or dancing and whatever that might be, and it does become a major part of certain cultures around the world. So there must be this connection with, let's just take drumming, for example, where I had practiced drumming earlier in my life, and there is a definite connection between the drumming and this pulse that's in our body. So I think that people are drawn to certain types of music, maybe because of that, some type of vibrational thing.
Oh, I would agree with that, that the infrastructure of your body, the vibration of your physical body, is basically, like we always say, like attracts like. And the infrastructure of the frequency that you resonate to, you will seek out things that you're in harmony with. And certain beats or rhythms or sounds and tones appeal to you, and other things you find maybe, you know, that you dislike them. And that can be very individual. I think everybody has their own frequency. Everybody has their own vibration. We have our own aura. But it is like attracts like. And I think the thing that you learn in a Kriya Yoga practice is the whole thing of the importance of silence. Even say, for example, with regard to music, it's the spaces between the noise that helps create the infrastructure of the song. And it's that balance and interplay between doing and letting things happen, kind of a thing.
You know, they say that the color white is the culmination of all the colors. Can we say the same thing for silence, that silence is the culmination of all sound?
Yeah, I think it could be taken the same way. Just like the color black is the absence of all color. And that whole black and white interplay that goes on, that just with those two colors you can make things recognizable. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, filling in with the whole thing of technicolor is a whole other dynamic. To how we view the things that are around us. But the rhythm and the cycle of your life, the harmony, the balance, kind of like the procession of your life, can really be equated with some sort of symphony or some musical piece of work. And having these high points and low points and all of the different challenges and all of the different accomplishments that we experience in the course of our everyday life, I think is an important thing with regard to being able to plot your life. I think just like when you are writing music, I think it's an important thing probably that you do just that you write it down and that you're able to plot it on a scale. And the same is true with creating your life as you go along. You really want to be able to start to understand where it came from and where it's going. And you want to be a very conscious participant as opposed to just letting it happen to you.
You know, I've read that we resonate at certain vibrations. So would it be safe to assume that a person's level of consciousness, let's say, they would resonate at a certain frequency or a certain vibration, and if they were to lower their level of consciousness or raise their level of consciousness, then their vibration would change as well?
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we talk about, the physics of spirituality. You know, that things like the shape, the composition, the condition of your physical body will have an important impact on the frequency that you resonate to, just like a piano or a guitar, that the string may be loose or too tight, kind of a thing, that if the instrument itself is out of tune, it affects the outcome of the song. And even though you might be technically correct with regard to the timing and hitting the right note at the right time for the duration of the correct time, if the instrument itself is out of tune, it will have a big impact on the outcome. So the same is true, like you say, with when you approach your life, your mind-body complex is kind of like your instrument. And trying to maintain the shape, the composition, the condition of your physical body is an important thing on how you will participate with this dance of life. And that brings you back to the relativity of things.
Well, you've reminded me of a person that I read on, I believe it was YouTube, and this person makes a claim that they can raise another person's vibration just by tuning in to him. You know, if you, I don't know the procedure, didn't get many, you know, much further with that, but just that, you know, there's this claim that, you know, if you meditate with me or if you tune in to me, you know, I'm able to help raise your vibration. And I think we've talked about things like this similarly in other radio shows, but can a person really be responsible or really have that capability to raise somebody else's vibration?
Well, I think there's a certain degree of what is it referred to as entrainment, kind of like if you had pendulums on a wall and you started them all at a different time, at some point, if they continued to swing, that these pendulums would all be in sync. And I think there is that certain element of entrainment. It's kind of like, I remember the old expression I grew up with is, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. It's if you are in the company of a particular level of consciousness, a particular degree of awareness, it will have an impact on you. But as far as bringing somebody to the degree of change or transformation that most people are talking about, I think if you are not consciously working with yourself, working with all of these different facets of your makeup, and you're relying totally on this entrainment, I think it would really limit your results. and you might be waiting a long time or identifying a lesser experience with a true mystical state of being. Because it's like we say, I mean, you really have to understand that spirituality isn't magic, but it is physics and the relativity of everything affects everything. And if you are not making changes on a deep level, then things may just be happening on a very superficial level. And what happens with that is we have a tendency to identify this intellectual devotional mirage for true spiritual reality.
All right, we're going to pause and hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in a few moments.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudashyate.
If you are looking for a samadhi-based experience, IPD Kriya Yoga has the goods. A complete yoga program that includes the practices and the process. Kriya Yoga Theory 1 live classes and videos. Get your arms around the spiritual science of Kriya Yoga.
You know, the intention of why we practice is to embody spirit, you know, to feel connected to the life force.
Kriya Yoga Asana live classes and videos, a cosmically engineered system of exercises to initiate apotheosis. A system of exercises engineered for dining and dancing at the cosmic ballroom. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 live classes and videos, a practice in open form designed to facilitate positive growth of consciousness. Get your labyrinth video.
I find the positive side of this is a lot of things together.
Kriya Yoga mantra and meditation. With repetition comes absorption. Pray on prana and become divine.
At the same time, we all have a unique talent and gift to give back to the universe.
Private session. The mysteries of the universe have always been handed down verbally from teacher to student. Call or click now and get started. 603-929-0303
or www.ipdtransform.com.
Namaste.
And welcome back for those of you just joining us. You're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So some before the break, we were talking about vibrational levels and how being around certain people may have an effect to help raise that, you know, each other's vibrations. And I know you always say, like attracts like. So would it be safe to say that as people move forward on their spiritual path, they're probably raising their vibrational level, and maybe that might explain why certain people might exit, you know, our inner circles, and other people may come into our circles because like attracts like, and they're attracted to a certain vibration or even repelled from a certain vibration, whether it's higher or lower.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. And the thing that I think is of the utmost importance is to understand the whole thing of the difference between worldly happiness, intellectual happiness, and spiritual happiness, and the difference between being attracted to things that are visible and tangible or things that are invisible but tangible, and being attracted to that which is invisible and intangible. Because whatever it is that we are attached to, whatever it is that we desire, will actually determine our level of consciousness and our degree of awareness. And that's why I think it's very important to understand how things like, say for example, even chanting. Chanting in and of itself is not really, in my opinion, a means to enlightenment, but chanting as a tool in the practice of a metaphysical or mystical system, such as a religion or yoga, where you are employing all of these other strategies, and you're using a technique to help you actually connect to a different source of sustenance. The whole thing of when one desires silence. And I think one of the expressions I always remember hearing was, silence was golden. That if that is what you seek, it's different than if you are constantly looking to intoxicate yourself with music, where then it actually can become more of a distraction, and actually hold you at a lower vibration. But a lot of times we don't understand what it is that we're trying to do, and so we kind of get lost in the astral plane. We get lost in the physical world. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's just going to delay your experience of what was referred to as enlightenment.
So it sounds like we have to have this attitude of even skillful use of music, just like we have skillful use of thought, skillful use of breath, skillful use of water, food, and exercise. It sounds like we even have to use an intelligence even with music.
Oh, I would agree with that, sure. And understanding its place in your life. And again, trying to create the balance in your life.
Now, I've read in other spiritual works about the more you become aware and the more you raise your level of consciousness, then that means more and more people around you and eventually around the globe, you can actually help and assist raise the level of consciousness of everybody on the earth. So it sounds like that's a big responsibility, you know, and when you say that if people are repelled by sometimes a higher level of vibration, a higher level of consciousness, so then how do we take that responsibility further to help lift the consciousness of the world, of the planet, if some people are repelled by that?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And like you say, I mean, there's the 100 monkey theory kind of a thing, that if you could get 100 people to raise their level of consciousness, their degree of awareness, then it would impact critical mass. It would impact the collective consciousness, and it would make more and more people want to raise their level of consciousness, their degree of awareness. And if you really look at where we are collectively, globally, you can really see how we're not growing psychologically and spiritually in a positive direction. In fact, we're spiraling downwards and backwards. And most of that is because of the physics of spirituality, like attracts like, that when somebody is at this higher frequency and you step into their aura, it doesn't feel good. In fact, for a lot of people, it's threatening. Mm. And so that is one of the things that I think is a real misconception in our spiritual communities, is that people think that being spiritual is warm and fuzzy.
Right.
And in reality, I mean, it really isn't that. This concept of spirit is a higher voltage, it's a higher frequency, and you really have to prepare yourself to be able to channel it. and you need to strengthen your psychological organs, and you need to attune yourself to it. It's something that you must acquire a taste for, so to speak, and then eventually become addicted to it. But initially, you should be repelled by it. And of course, if you're not, if what it is that you step in and it feels great, then of course you're attuning yourself to a low vibration.
Is this why we have to do the physical preparatory work? And like you said, we have to purify the body. Is that so that people can hold the vibration of spirit? Because isn't it supposed to have, like, I'm going to use the word this higher voltage, like you said. Doesn't spirit have this stronger or more powerful vibration, and we have to be able to hold it into our physical bodies in order to have this union?
Well, yeah. And the thing is that it's very subtle. I mean, it doesn't have the same impact as the world initially. You're trying to connect to something that's invisible and intangible. And not just academically, but you wanna internalize it in your body. The key is to rebirth your body in it so that now you desire it, you love it. And that requires, the reason why you have to purify yourself is because we come in with a different pattern. We're looking for something else. And so in the framework of doing this, that's why yoga is a path of action. It's a path of knowledge. It's a path of devotion. Because you can't just do this intellectually. And again, it's not something that just being in the presence of somebody else that does it typically isn't going to make that happen for you. Because again, if you do not purify yourself, then of course you can't even get this subtle source of sustenance into your body as a symbol for validation. But if you grasp the concept and you understand it, and you understand how to attune yourself to it, then things like chanting and rhythm and melody and all of that can be used to help you harmonize yourself with this invisible and intangible resource. But at the same time, you can become intoxicated with the sound. Mm-hmm. And of course that keeps you attached to something that's visible and tangible, or invisible and intangible.
What's interesting is I have heard stories and seen movies about these genius writers and genius music writers and even artists where they strive for this perfection in whatever it is that they're trying to make, whether it's music or words or whatever. And is it because that it's so difficult to it, you know, using these methods, and they have to be a certain attunement?
Well, to answer your question, I mean, spirit is the sound of silence. So the whole thing is that it's not something that you achieve that is recognizable. So again, and I think it's time we have to get going.
Sure. So in closing, I would like to invite you listeners out there to visit our website. You can follow Swami on Pinterest and Twitter, and of course on Facebook. Be sure to visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, and you can post comments about this show and maybe ideas. So be sure to tune in next week. I believe we'll be discussing Labor Day and celebrating that Kriya Yoga style. So any final thoughts about our show today?
I just wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.